Welcome, everyone. This is episode 4 of Road to Resilience. Before we start, we want to thank you for listening to the series so far. And just a reminder, when you're in iTunes, make sure to subscribe, then rate and review us. We look forward to your feedback. This month, we're talking about faith and spirituality and how you can use these resilience factors when you're dealing with hardship. Here to explain how this works is Dr. Deborah Marin. She's a renowned psychiatrist here at Mount Sinai. She also runs our Center for Spirituality and Health. Welcome, Dr. Marin, and thank you so much for joining us today. Everyone has a different way of talking about resilience or defining it, but what does resilience mean to you?
Resilience to me reflects the capacity to manage or endure stressful events in a way that's a positive thinking kind of manner, that one can look at the positive side of things, can draw on their own resources and those of others to combat anything from a death of a loved one, an illness, God forbid, a natural disaster. So it's really managing a stressor in a way that permits them to get through it and even, quite frankly, grow from it.
Let's talk about your role at Mount Sinai.
Yeah, I am a psychiatrist. I oversee the activities of the chaplains in the different departments of spiritual care. What I've learned through work we've done in clinical observation is that chaplains provide a remarkably important resource for compassionate care. Patients do use their faith to combat illness. They may use their faith in terms of serious medical decision-making. That faith and religiosity has a lot of roles in terms of health outcomes. And when chaplains work with patients, we found that patients find the experience better in the hospital, and meeting spiritual emotional needs is a driver of patient satisfactions. And you know what chaplains mainly do? They listen. They call it active listening. So unlike us healthcare providers that often interrupt patients after 18 seconds in an interview, they listen. And it allows the patient to, I think, do their own reflection on why they're here, what the illness is about, how it's affecting them and their family. But in general, in our health system, we find that chaplains only provide prayer a third of the time. They do other things, a lot of emotional support.
Talk to us about faith and resilience.
Well, I also think the whole issue of faith and resilience is very interesting. You know, those who have faith tend to be more resilient with regards to veteran studies have shown that veterans who are churchgoers, who define this as more religious, are less likely to have post-traumatic stress disorder or substance use. And that's been shown, too, for churchgoers, by the way, that churchgoers are less likely to use substances.
Can you give us a specific example of someone where faith and spirituality has helped them become more resilient and it's helped them in the healing process?
In my practice, I deal with the Orthodox Jewish population. I have definitely seen that whatever comes the person's way, or actually the caregiver's way, because often family members are so remarkably stressed by taking care of an individual sick, particularly someone with Alzheimer's disease, that they somehow go, you know, I know that God has a purpose for this, and as a consequence, I can endure the pain. I can endure the suffering of my mother, because I know that there's a reason this is happening, and I know that wherever my mother will go afterwards, she'll be okay. Another example would be, I've definitely seen patients who are not very old and who go to do some kind of Bible study, and they find that being together with folks of like-minded of their faith and learning the history of, it could be Christianity, it could be Judaism, they find meaning and understanding where they come from. And again, that meaning makes them feel like, I can do this, you know, I understand this, and whatever it is out there, there's a reason.
Can you name an instance where faith and spirituality has helped you become more resilient?
I do believe in a higher power. I definitely do. It certainly helped me in my life because my parents died when I was very young. So for me, it was like a sense of organization in my thoughts when I was 9 when my father died.
So how did you draw on faith and spirituality? Has it shaped your path in life in some sort of way?
When you're a kid, there's a lot of magical thinking that goes on, you know. When you're 9, you're trying to put the world together in your head. Cognitively, 9-year-olds are like somewhat formed human beings, you know, in terms of their ability to understand the bigger things. So to me, it kind of made order in my head. And my mother died when I was in medical school. I felt that my faith in that I did the best I could, that this wasn't a punishment for my mother. In fact, in many ways, her death was a good thing for her because she was very, very sick. And that she's somewhere. It's you know, some people call it magical thinking. Some people call it faith. So for me, it gives an order. It gives me a framework or a fabric with which to work. My parents were Holocaust survivors, and they grew up being modern Orthodox Jews in Germany and Hungary. And they continued to be somewhat observant, but very assimilated when they came to the States. I do know that my parents and my aunt and my uncle definitely relied on their own inner faith of some kind to tolerate what they went through. A lot of my parents' relatives were killed, you know, a lot of them, in front of their eyes, actually, one couple. I would say that I think Holocaust survivors are a mixed bag of their belief in God. I've worked with patients who said, how could there possibly be a God? How could this possibly happen? For my parents, it was like, you know, I think we're here because of something.
So it's in your DNA to be resilient.
I believe that there's a truth to that. I've definitely had my challenges in life, but I can say that my faith, which is connected to my gratitude, has definitely done me well. There's no question that all my life I have felt I've been very lucky. All my life I've been very grateful, and definitely since my father died, I felt that there's some higher order, something that's watching over or somehow making me feel I can keep on going. There's no question that has definitely helped me get to where I am and definitely makes me extremely enthusiastic about what I'm doing now.
What have you learned about resilience after going through that hardship?
I think what I've learned is that one has to really accept one's weaknesses, quite frankly, and figure out how to shore them up and take one's strength, which I think may include faith in something bigger than us. Faith in that there is a reason for why things are the way they are. That has helped me throughout my life, way before being a physician. The position I have now, I'm just learning that there's data to prove it. And I want to add to the field to understand what that connection is between faith and resilience.
You have a belief system, but not everyone does. What if someone doesn't believe in a higher power or they're reluctant to do so? How do you introduce this concept?
I wouldn't. I think that if somebody is an agnostic, atheist, that's their privilege. They may believe in something else outside of themselves. What's very important is meaning making. So you ask, what are your values? It's a very important component of therapy, actually. And what are your values? I value my family. I value my health. Okay, well, that gives you meaning. So let's see how we can use those values to make you realize you have meaning in your life and meaning making. But I wouldn't say, hey, wait a minute. Hold on there. There's a God out there.
So for the people who don't have a tie to religion, they can use meaning making as a guide to resilience to overcome struggles.
That's right. Totally. Find what their values are and help them understand what struggles are going through. And I do believe that can make somebody more resilient. It has to do with making somebody more able to cope with stress. And that is a form of resilience. You know, I have my family. I understand I may be very, very sick, but I do value my family. They value me. We're talking about faith, but I want to actually enlarge it to the term spirituality. Because spirituality is being connected to something that's transcendent to the person. It could be nature. It could be music. It doesn't have to be God. So the higher power of God is faith. So faith and religion kind of go together. Spirituality, you can be absolutely not religious and be very spiritual. A lot of people, particularly younger individuals, faith is not their defining feature.
And how do you correlate that to resilience?
When somebody is spiritual and they could have a religion, they tend to feel a connectedness to something bigger than them. I think it defines a person's ability to feel more than just within themselves. They're also able to, I think, draw on resources that give them meaning. I think meaning making is very important in terms of faith and spirituality. And meaning making is very important for people's tolerating the vicissitudes of life. And I think those folks who are resilient have a sense of meaning making in them.
Do you have specific examples that you've encountered with patients or colleagues where spirituality came into play and you saw it at work?
In terms of my practice, I have found that my patients who have a sense of meaning, or who feel connected to some higher order, there's a sense of that I can count on something bigger than me to tolerate this. There's a reason why this is happening for me. But the positive value of faith or meaning-making or spirituality is the ability to cope. I have definitely found that.
So would you say that spirituality can be thought of as a therapy?
There is literature to show that therapists are using actually spirituality as part of their kind of behavioral therapy for patients. Mindfulness is a form of, is considered a form of spirituality, you know, being able to be present, think of oneself, connectedness. Let me also talk one thing about meditation, all right? Because meditation is viewed as a spiritual experience by many, many people. If you do it, you can lower your blood pressure. So, and mindfulness, that whole concept, I think that that can be viewed as a spiritual experience. And, you know, mindfulness can make people more resilient. You know, there are ways to become resilient. I can't explain what it is, but it is the following. People are looking for meaning, and people are looking for their inner resources to help them cope with everything from burnout, not feeling well.
So when it comes to mindfulness and spirituality, this can actually help doctors build resilience as well and better serve those patients.
If patient thinks it's important, why wouldn't we think it's important? In terms of what physicians are looking for, you know, given the fact that, you know, burnout is such a big issue and physician suicide is such a big issue, you know, physicians are beginning to think about, you know, what can make them feel more in control? What can make them cope better, you know, with the stressors that they're experiencing and in this rapidly evolving healthcare system, I think finding one's inner strength and one's own spirituality could be a very grounding experience. And physicians want that. This mindfulness issue is a very big issue. You can't force a person to do wellness, but if you offer the opportunity to think of what may help them, I think that's amazing. And this health system is paying attention to it.
In fact, Mount Sinai is using support and spirituality to help doctors and nurses better cope with stress and trauma. There's a new program here called Qi Time. Qi is a word from Chinese philosophy, meaning the most important energy a person has. Here's how it works.
So I'm Maggie Keough, and I am the director of the Qi Time program at the Mount Sinai Health Systems and a chaplain. It started out 6 years ago when I was working with some nurses and trying to help them learn to do basic listening skills. And I discovered I couldn't even get them in the same room at the same time. They were so stressed, and they just didn't want to add one more thing to their plate. So we came up with a solution. Every week we go out and they take our Qi cart to different units throughout the hospital. And we go into probably a conference room, any kind of room where we can create a safe space. And if we can, we dim the lights and we serve tea and we have aromatherapy. We play really kind of quiet music, sort of trying to reach all of the different senses of the staff. And we serve a very healthy snack. We're there for maybe 40 minutes to an hour. The beauty of it is they can come in when they have a 5 minute break or 2 minutes to just sit and really be quiet for a time. So it's a really coming and going kind of thing too. And that's the experience, the Qi experience. It's like a community builder when they start coming in. They'll sit there and they'll go, oh my God, you've got to go get Mary Beth. She's the one who's been most stressed today. And they'll call her up and bring her in for Qi time. So it's a real community building.
And how can this make people more resilient?
Well, because they're getting back to kind of homeostasis, biological term of it, which is stress reduction. It's the relaxation response rather than the stress response. You can really support whatever resilience is in somebody by letting them have lower stress. Because I think if you can't be resilient if you're stressed. And when you can be in an environment where it's just like, be here now, it's a stress reducer.
What proof do you have that this works?
You know, we did a survey of the staff. What we found, we gave it to the staff that had the Qi time at least two times. and over a six-month period. And we found, I mean, it was over the top with positive results of them feeling that they were able to do their shift in a better way, that they were able to feel better about themselves for the rest of the day, that they felt calmer, and that another really amazing one was that they felt that the hospital itself and the administration cared about them and also recognized that their job was stressful. And so I think that was really powerful to see.
Does one story in particular stand out to you? Let's wonder, is having a particularly, or a doctor having a particularly difficult day, they come into tea time, and it just transforms their day.
I've had a couple of things like that. And one of the nurses had a horrible experience, I think the day before. And it was his first week on the unit as a nurse, and he had an unexpected, kind of a violent death. This young man was really shaken. He was like, I don't think I can be a nurse. So, you know, in that Qi time experience, I noticed he was there.
And how did that help him?
We kind of formed a relationship, and I was able to follow up and support him there the next day, and we started an email correspondence, and I helped him process it.
So here is a man who dealt with trauma.
Yeah.
A sudden, unexpected trauma.
Right.
Goes to Qi time, and ultimately that support system and this form of spirituality,
yes,
helped him become more resilient and get back on the job with
absolutely
confidence.
Absolutely, yes. And I think that everybody that comes in, probably if you did use the word resilient, that would be what they'd say. They feel more resilient after experiencing Qi time.
I wanted to see what this Qi time experience was all about, so I went to a session. And that's where I met Dr. Kate Riley. She's proof of how effective a program like this can be. Take a listen to her story.
So I'm an intensive care physician, and I'm also a neurologist. We've had a kind of a challenging day today because we had a number of patients who came in overnight whose injuries were too severe for us to intervene on. Fatal, catastrophic hemorrhages. One patient's family who had been struggling with the decision to withdraw care on their mother. Their mother was younger than my mom is. She had a massive stroke that came out of the blue that they weren't expecting. So I think I really identified with them and their struggle and some of their fear and frustration as well. And it's impossible to be with someone going through something like that and not feel some of that yourself.
So Qi time came on the best day for you.
It almost always comes on the best day. So I went into Qi time. Maggie, who I adore, who we've gone through many cases together, poured me a cup of tea. I put a bit of honey in it. I sat down and I talked to some of the nurses and the nurse practitioners on the team about, not about the cases, not about the medical problems, and just had like a moment where we were just people interacting with each other.
So it gave you that critical break.
It did.
How are you feeling now compared to how you felt before Qi time?
Oh, I feel calmer. Definitely. Calmer and sharper.
What difference do you notice in other people, too, on your team after Qi time?
Oh, everyone feels calmer after Qi time. Everyone feels more focused and ready to get back to work. You know, it can get very harried here, as you might imagine, and sometimes frustration can kind of build. But after Qi time, everyone just kind of calms down and decompresses.
And how does that help you become a better doctor?
Well, I think both the taking a step back and not trying to react emotionally definitely has improved my performance as a physician, and being able to work within a team. In addition to having that break, which I think is just so important to anyone who has a stressful job, and certainly we would fit that description, but it also makes us feel together, like we're part of a team, that we're supporting each other, and that we're being supported by the institution that we work for. I think that's just so important for building and maintaining resilience. You know, when something happens that can feel like a real setback, I think it's important to feel that you're part of a larger group.
And Qi time, such a simple idea to build resilience, can easily be applied beyond the hospital setting. Dr. Marin encourages others to try it out.
I have a firm opinion. This is something that can be transferred from healthcare to any other place where there may be stress or not. The idea is to just be there. No proselytizing, no praying. It is highly unusual. And we have shown that staff who get this experience feel more engaged. I think that this whole concept of spirituality, if you cut out the organized religion, part of it. There's something when people feel connected to something bigger than them, it makes them spiritual. I used to do triathlons. I never would have gotten through those long rides and those marathons without being part of a community. It also helps you feel connected and pushes you on. It's a congregation of people. There's something about that. There's a lot of work now in the scientific literature about resilience. In terms of here in our health system, we are actually about to better understand how spiritual struggle interfaces with resilience in a positive or negative way. My hypothesis would be that those folks who are more resilient have less spiritual distress and may cope better while they're being very ill, but we're looking into that. We will be looking at, in the intensive care units, how resilience and faith and distress interplay with one another in terms of patient outcomes, including even weaning oneself off the ventilator, which is not an easy experience.
So it seems like right now is a really exciting time for researchers when it comes to resilience. Good luck with this research, Dr. Marin. And we have one last question for you. What do you want people to ultimately take away from this topic, faith and spirituality?
I think people should feel, I don't think anybody should feel they should be anything. I think it's very important. Like, one of the worst things I would say to a patient is, you should not be depressed. You should. So I think what people need to learn is that there are qualities of being resilient that will really help them deal with everything from a bad day of work to mild illness to death of a loved one, death of a friend, that if they learn the tools to become resilient, of which I think faith and meaning making is definitely part of it, they may have a better quality of life. That's a big one.
And a better quality of life can certainly be achieved just by taking simple steps. You've been listening to episode 4 of Road to Resilience. You don't want to miss our podcast next month. We have a special guest who's been through significant hardship starting from the time she was young. She has an exceptional story to tell, and she'll explain how optimism, playing to her strengths, and altruism has helped her overcome incredible obstacles and thrive. You can listen to that starting October 31st. And remember, subscribe, review, and rate us.